Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Good morning. Welcome to the Quilted Bananas Lesbian Radio Show edition. My name's Rosie, and behind the buttons on the desk is Fiona. We have a kind of St. Patrick's Day edition for you here today, so I should say in Irish, Oscailge, Bannocklaw, Éile Pádraic to everybody listening. So we'll start. The music today is mainly from Ireland. In fact, probably all of it will be. And I have a wee survey to let you know about, we can talk about. And there's lots of happenings in Wellington today. It's like a wonderful weekend. The Pride crosses over with the St. Patrick's weekend, and they're within probably about 10 minutes of each other, both events on the waterfront today. So if anybody's out there, I'll start after the track and tell you what's on so you can get your boots on and get your bus fares ready and or cycle into town, whatever your form of transport is. So we'll start with one of my favourite, absolute favourite Irish artists, because I love purity of voice, and this woman is just sensational. And it's a pity we lost her so early. She had many more years left, and sad to see her go. So it's Sinead O'Connor. And this is a really wonderful, kind of, again, a bit of an old Irish song, or maybe it's Scottish, I don't know, one or the other. It's called The Parting Glass.
Sorry for
And that was the glorious Sinead O'Connor. Right, we'll start with the St. Patrick's Day stuff and then we'll intersect with the Pride stuff because it's great. And we might even mention the new library opening, which is all in the same area today. So it's get your boots on and go down to that side of town and in Wellington and you'll be hours away. So just a little bit, in the past I've talked a lot about St. Patrick's Day parades, especially it seems to be more contentious offshore from Ireland than it is onshore from Ireland. And one of the big ones was in New York City, where gay and lesbian groups were originally refused the right to march under a flag and refused under anybody's flag, but even wearing anything that looked in any way rainbow, and then refused to march on their own one and finally allowed to march. And there was a huge 25 years from, when they tried to start this. It's way different in New Zealand. I don't know who's marching in today's St. Patrick's Day parade march. They normally do it in New Zealand. There's 32 counties in Ireland and they tend to have a banner for each county and you line up behind whatever county you affiliate with. But the one in New York, which is the biggest parade in the world, it's a little bit different. And again, I think it was the first ever St. Patrick's Day parade was in New York. 1762 was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in New York. So quite a few years ago that. And then in less than 100 years later, in the 1836, the group that kind of took ownership of the parade or the sponsor of the parade was a group called the Ancient Order of Hibernia, which is affiliated to the Catholic Church. And then it all kind of came to a fore in around 1989. Or 1990, when the Irish gay and lesbian group in New York requested to march and they were denied the right to march in the parade by the people who, I suppose, ran the parade. They considered it to be a private event that they could decide to go or not. And in fact, then all the way through the 90s, there was lots of friction when there was a parade, because then the Irish lesbian and gay group in New York decided that they would march before the parade but on the same route, and a lot of them got arrested, and then from which thing the High Court said that they had a right to free speech and they could do what they want. But then the next year was a different ruling, so they set up their own group and they called it St. Pat's for All. And they had a parade and it was in a different part of New York, and it was usually held the day before or the weekend before the original St. Patrick's Day parade. And then they usually got people to walk in that, like the mayor. I believe the Irish president walked in it one year. She was offered to lead the real parade, if you want, and she refused. Instead, she went and marched in the other one. And and then eventually, I think in 2016, they allowed them to start marching, but not necessarily with their own banner. And in the end, in about 2018, they actually did get to march properly with their own banner. And They were even allowed to lead the parade. So some history there of what is happening. So what's happening today in Wellington is there is a parade, and it starts at the front of Te Papa, and it ends with a concert at the Queen's Wharf under the sails. So not that far from where the Pride out in the park is on. So the timing is, it starts at 12:45 from Te Papa. They usually have Irish wolfhounds as well, just for anybody who's into dogs. I think you might want to. I don't know if they are this year, but, you know, if you like dogs, you get a chance to see an Irish wolfhound. And if, I believe a lot of people do bring their dogs to it. Anyhow, if you want to be in the parade, if you want to, and I think they're happy for lots of people to do, to walk behind whatever county they affiliate to. If anybody's out there and they're stuck for a county, I would recommend you walk behind the Mayo County area. They're good people.
Is that where you're from, Rosie?
It certainly is. It's a wonderful, wonderful place in the west of Ireland. So we're green and red is the colours, just for anybody who wants. Arrive at 12:15, and then you can march, and you'll end up way down at the Queen's Wharf on the thing, and there will be music, I would imagine Irish. There will be lots of people dancing, and they'll be singing, and who else? They might even teach you how to dance. There's going to be a choir, I don't know. There'd be face painting. Well, lots of things happening. So, and the sausage sizzle for those who are hungry. So that's the St. Patrick's Day parade. I'll go on to the gay one next, our gay rainbowy one. And but before that, so I can get my notes in order, we will play the next track, which I think is C-Matt is her name, Kira Marianne Thompson. And I believe she just won an award for Best Album of the Year. And this track is called something that I don't have in front of me. So I can, oh, hold on. It's called I Want to Be a Cowboy Baby. So.
Get me.
that was CMAT. She's doing really well out there and getting more and more international in her exposure. So, so next is Pride, the Pride Festival. So today, and you will have to get on your skates and get out there. Out in the City is on today, and that's on in, it's not on in the Civic Square, it's on in...
Odlands Plaza,
thank you very much. And it's an anniversary, isn't it, of the original Newtown Lesbian and Gay Fair.
Yeah, exactly.
How many years?
40
years.
I want to think about.
86, yeah. I think I saw 86 somewhere. Mm. So it's been going for quite a long time, as long as I've been in Wellington. And I arrived here way back in 1990. So, and I must admit it was good fun when it was on in Newtown, maybe because it was closer to home for me. Anyhow, it's on today in the plaza, and get down there. It starts at, Fiona?
10 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, you're late. Get out there.
There's a hikoi at 9, and so, it will be in full swing by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So get down there. There is, if you go to the out in the Rainbow page, it has a map of where the stalls are even. So if you have particular stalls you want to hone in on, and I'm sure one of the stalls you will want to go to is the... Quilted Banana Stall.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, after the show finishes, it's Fiona here. After the show finishes today, I'll be heading down there to take over from Creek, who is down there at the moment. And we'll be at the out in the city all day today. We'd love to have people come up. And if you've ever thought about doing radio, presenting or teching, just come and have a chat to us and we can talk to you about it. Also, we've got a information sheet there. If you're thinking, oh my goodness, I really like to do radio, but I would not know what to ask people, you know, if I interviewed them. Well, we'll have information there, like a sheet of kind of like best, you know, top tips for how you interview people. I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing because I think I could learn a lot from it as well. So, so do come and see us. And there's also going to be performers there as well.
Yes, there is. Lots of performers. There's comedy performers, drag performers. There's DJs. I'll talk about Pooches in the Plaza next. And the wonderful at 3:30 to 3:45, there's the Glamophones.
We're debuting. We've got a couple of new songs as part of the Glamophones that we're singing today. Ones that we've loved singing. Some of the new ones that we're I don't want to spread rumours, but I have a feeling that we might be singing Pink Pony Club.
Wow.
Which is, as you can imagine, we're all getting into singing that. And we're using I can't remember the term for it, if you take an original piece of music and then you make it ready for choirs. But it's been sung first by the Pink Singers, who's a London LGBT choir. So I'm really looking forward to belting out that.
I don't know what you call it, but I'd call it an interpretation.
Oh yes, actually it is. After you, if you are down at the out in the city and you hear us, or even if you can't get down there today, I do encourage you to look up Pink Pony Club with the Pink Singers on YouTube, because man, they get into it at the beginning or even throughout it in terms of athletic dancing and swinging people around and all kinds of things on stage. So do look that up on YouTube.
Interpretive dance and...
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's what it is.
Wow. And are you going to be doing any of that?
No.
Just the singing?
No, the stage is pretty small out in the city.
But
so
the people watching and hearing could do it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Actually, thank you, Rosie. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is too. So get your dancing shoes on and go down and listen to them. So it's on now, so get down there. Plenty of time to get down there to hear the Glamophones. And at 1 o'clock, but from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we have the Pooches in the Plaza. And basically, this is for the best dogs in the city. I They have some areas they're going to get prizes in. One is the best groomed. Now, this is about the dogs, not about the people handling the dogs. But there is a category for best dog owner lookalike. There's a category for best trick. Again, that's the dogs. And a category for people's choice, for the dogs. Lots of wonderful prizes. It looks like, based on the pictures on the website, where they got lovely dog bowls and dog jackets and things like that. So, anybody with a dog who wants to enter, get down there. Well, I would imagine if you want to enter before 1 o'clock and some wonderful things. And then lastly, I think I've just deleted it. There is a picnic on next weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
It's on in the Shell up it in is. The Botanic Gardens, but I just deleted the thing, so I don't know
that's
what time.
That's okay. Yeah, I think it's happening. Actually, that's a good point. I'm not sure what start. I'm going to be there, in my work persona. If you're looking for Wellington City Libraries at Out in the City today, we're not there today because of the big opening of the library yesterday, Central Library. But we are going to be at the Pride Picnic next week. And I am just having a quick look as well. I think it starts at lunchtime because it is a lunchtime thing. So
bring your own picnic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So that will be the end of the Pride Festival. And last week was the Pride March, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. And Quilted Bananas were walking in that as well. And there were lots and lots of people along the side of the parade route and really encouraging and Yes, it was a pretty long parade. We got there and Sue, who's another, as people know, is another presenter on Quilted Banana, said, I don't think it's going to start on time. It never starts on time. And sure enough, it didn't. But we all had a great time anyway. Just going back to the Pride Picnic, it is from 12 to 3, 12 lunchtime until 3 p.m. next week.
Saturday or Sunday?
It is, oh my goodness, it says the 22nd, which is, I guess, it's...
Look it up, everybody.
Yeah, it is the 22nd of March and my brain is fairly fried this weekend. And it is in the Sound Shell as well. So yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. So that's all that's happening today in...
Sunday the 22nd.
Okay, thank you very much, Fiona. That's all that's happening today in Wellington. So lots of happening on the waterfront there. You can wear your green and then change over to your rainbow colours as you go to the next one. I believe the Irish Embassy in Wellington were in the Pride Parade last weekend and had a good few Irish folk behind them, which was nice to see. Okay, we'll go on to our next track. Now, this person isn't actually Irish, but she sounds Irish, and that's good enough for me. When I was doing research, I just liked her music. Her name is Lily Lines. I think she's from Cornwall. And it's her music is, let's play it. It's kind of English folky sort of music. So off we go with Lily.
I can feel and touch. something I can feel and touch. That feels enough.
And that was Lily Lines, and the track name was called Weightless. Okay, next up we have a study that just came out, I think, last month, and it was done by a group in Ireland called Outhouse. It's a group, they have a centre where you can go, and they have events on there and coffee shops and a nice place. And it was a study of economic challenges in the LGBTQ plus community in Ireland, and it was called Pride and Poverty. So an interesting study. Now, I will put the link up, but there's two reports. There's kind of the short report, which is 20 pages long, and then there's the full report, which is just shy of 100 pages long. And it's quite a good read. I can't say I read it every word of the 92 pages, but it does have lots of literature researches and comparisons to other places, and you know, it even has its own set of recommendations at the end of it. So it's a good place to go and read to get an overall idea. And I think some of the reasoning behind doing the report, not too sure, but this is what I glean from reading it, is in some ways to counteract the urban myth that all LGBTQ plus people are rich or well off. That was certainly not the case with the findings of this report. So the report looks at money and living costs for the LGBTQ people in Ireland. It challenges the idea that the communities are doing really well financially. And it involves a review of past research, five in-depth interviews, and an anonymous online survey of 373 people. So they choose to do it. It was an online thing, adults in Ireland. And the findings show that many people are under real money pressures. Many have little or nothing to fall back on, and stress and anxiety are very common. The report also shows that not everybody is affected in the same way. Some people face a higher risk of hardship, especially when LGBTQ plus identity overlaps with other factors such as disability, neurodivergence, being a migrant or from an ethnic minority, being younger or living with long-term health conditions. I don't think that should be a surprise to anyone, but sometimes it is actually a surprise until you see it written down. And one of the findings, I think, or the recommendations, is that when new policy is being researched, that they look at the LGBTQ plus community as an affected party explicitly rather than otherwise at the moment, which it's not necessarily. Anyhow, money pressure is closely linked to well-being. Again, that is so obvious, but it's more obvious when you put it in writing. Many people describe constant worry, a poor quality of life, and difficulty dealing with unexpected costs. The report shows why anti-poverty and equality policy in Ireland needs to name LGBTQ plus people clearly and address the factors that create and keep financial hardship in place. So that's kind of the intro to it. So some of the findings, we won't go through them all. This is kind of the overview of some of them. The research showed that many LGBTQ plus people in Ireland are struggling financially. Money worries are common, stress is high, and some groups are hit harder than others. That's the plain English version of what the findings are. Many people are finding it hard to get by. Almost half of the people, that's 49%, said they find it difficult or very difficult to make ends meet each week. Almost one in two, in other words, 50%, worry about unpaid bills or debt. Six in 10, 59%, went without at least one basic need in the past year. And nearly half, 46.1%, went without two or more essentials because they could not afford them. That is about three times the nationally enforced deprivation rate. So, you know, it clearly did show some findings that are, you know, not easy to read. Most people often went without, what they went without was new clothes, heating their homes properly, social time with friends, leisure activities and regular nutritious meals. Most people are cutting back on essentials like food, heating and transport. And I'm sure that this is no different for a lot of other people in categories, but I suppose this surveys about the LGBTQ people. So a lot of these findings would be common to other areas and peoples as well. Few LGBTQ plus people have savings to fall back on. Nearly 3 in 10 have no savings at all. 1 in 6 have savings that could be less than 1 month, and 1 in 7 could not get $500 if they were in an emergency. This shows that many people are one shock away from serious trouble. Stress and anxiety are very common. More than half, 55%, felt anxious or stressed most of or all of the time in the past month. These levels are much higher than in the general population. Stress was highest amongst people under 35, trans and non-binary people, disabled and neurodivergent people, and people whose finances had worsened or were expected to worsen. Money stresses and mental health were closely linked. Income is low for many LGBTQ plus people. Again, this is one of the, I suppose, the starting off effects is over one third, 35%, earn less than $1,500 per month. And almost one third, 32%, rely on social welfare support. Many people spoke about barriers to work, discrimination, illness or disability making it hard to earn enough. Some groups face greater risk. The research showed higher hardship amongst trans and non-binary people, disabled and neurodivergent people, migrants and people from ethnic minorities, young people and people with long-term health conditions. Again, these challenges were often overlapped and build up over time. And what this means, this research challenges the idea that LGBTQ plus people are financially secure. Poverty is real. It is widespread. It is linked to discrimination, health, housing and access to work, which is a really kind of nice summary of. I like the way they use the word hardship because I think that is kind of the right word to use. Anyhow, there are the findings. We might go through some of the what they thought would alleviate these next. But we'll play another track in the interim. Let me see who is next on our list. Oh, it's, hold on, I have to get it up here. Florence Road, another group from Dublin. I think there's four. They started off in school, played in their garden shed for a long time, and they now have a record deal. It's called Storm Warnings. Locked and you tossed away the key. And that was, Florence Road, just before I nearly forgot. Again, we're talking about a report that just came out. It's an Irish report. And, you know, I would imagine it would have certain similarities to New Zealand. It's called Pride and Poverty. It's a study of economic challenges in the LGBTQ+ community, and we will put the link up. In the report, it actually does kind of divide down the findings into kind of a few areas. And you can, when you go to the report, you can see the specific kind of details in those areas. And one is about stress, anxiety, and financial vulnerability. One is housing and accommodation. One is employment and workplace experiences. Another is education, bullying, exclusion, and education disruption. Next one is trans experiences, accessing gender affirming healthcare. And the last one is sex work and income security. So if you go, you'll see that there's more details within all of those. You know, and again, quite interesting. I mean, I like numbers, but, the numbers behind all the numbers are obviously real people. Even the housing one, 36.2% experienced at least one housing difficulty in the past year. And, 5.9% experienced housing discrimination linked to immigration status, LGBTQ+, or trans identity, welfare receipt, or disability. So, you know, that's, yeah, not a good thing. 53.9% reported hiding their identity at work. And it's funny, I remember, wasn't there a report last year from the Public Service Commission about bullying at work? And there was questions on people's diversity and their identity. And I can't remember what the numbers are, but I know there was a number there. But hiding your identity at work is, you know, can't be a great workplace if you have to do that. 58.2% reported experience bullying or exclusion relating to their LGBTQ. And 27.7% reported seeking gender affirming healthcare. You know, so everything isn't, as good as people think it is. And 4% reported using sex work to supplement their income. Lots of good stuff in there. The recommendations that come out, they have quite a lot of recommendations that come out of the report. The good thing is they don't just have recommendations as such. They have an action associated with it, a responsibility, who they think the responsibility lies with to do that action, and obviously a rationale why they want it done. And again, I love the format of the report. It just makes it easy to find things and see things. And I think they set out to, whoever wrote this report, I think there was two people involved. They really did, in my opinion, put a lot of time into making it very readable for a non-person who's not into research, which is great. Anyhow, recommendations are to count the number of people in national data systems, LGBT+ in national data systems. And I suppose, while not everybody would be into that, but it certainly would know what the number of people they're talking about when they talk about having difficulties as a percentage of the population. Explicitly name LGBTQ+ people as a priority group in the next, they have a roadmap in Ireland for social inclusion. Commission sustained research on LGBTQ+ financial precarity and well-being. Increase access to affordable housing and strengthen Tennessee security for LGBTQ+ people. Enhance income security and modernise social welfare supports, including essential cost supports. Expand access to affordable LGBTQ+ affirming mental health services. improve access to gender-affirming healthcare by reducing the waits and limiting out-of-pocket expenses. And there's quite a lot more. I could go on, but I think the best thing to do if anyone's interested is to dip their toes in it and see what they think. And again, I would say that I know that LGBTQ plus people are not the only ones in this predicament, but I think the survey in itself would be for any diverse group, and there is a crossover with a lot of the diverse groups, as they said here, and well worth a read. So we will go on to the next track, I think, and the next track is again an oldie but a goodie, one of my favourite Irish singers from gone by times, Mary Black. I think she's retiring. And this is, again, one of she's got a lot of tracks I really like, but this is one of the first ones we used to sing together when we were in a flat way back in Dublin in the 1980s. It's Once in a Blue Moon.
I found your letter in my mailbox today. You were just checking if I was okay. And if I miss you, well, you know. Just once in a very blue moon, just once in a very blue moon, just once in a very blue moon, I feel one coming on soon. No need to ask me if we can be friends, and help me. Hurt you at all, like I'm the only one who's getting up from a fall. Don't you remember now? Don't you recall? Just once in a very blue moon, just once in a very blue moon, just once.
And that was Mary Black, Once in a Blue Moon. We were just talking here about it, that when I started listening way back in the 80s, late 80s, we used to sing that, a lot of the songs from that album. They didn't have Spotify in those days. They didn't even have the internet in those days. It's amazing to think that. Didn't have mobile phones, yay. So we had CDs had come out, so we did have CDs. We'd moved slightly away from the vinyl, but not quite. And it's great that the vinyl is coming back again. We knew the album so well that we didn't even, you know, kind of say what song we wanted to sing. We just said the number of the track on the album, and we all knew what it was, and off we go. It was great. Them were the days. Let's see what else is on in the Wellington area. There's also a Pride Festival in Featherston, and it finishes today. And it says there's, if you go on Instagram or Facebook, it has something about it, but there's something on from 11 to 12:30 today called the Big P Politics Sunday, whatever that is. I forgot to say we're on Access Radio. I'm supposed to say that every 15 minutes or something, haven't I? So we're on Access Radio, just for anybody who's listening. And this is the Quilted Bananas, who are sponsored by the Rule Foundation. So thank you, Rule Foundation, for sponsoring the program. Don't forget, out there as well, we have the Arthur and Armstrong Charitable Trust for Lesbians. The other ones to note are the Lesbian Overland Club. Let me see when the next walk is. Doesn't say your 12th of March. No, that's gone. We'll have to go to the Lesbian Overland page on their website. What else is happening? Angie is launching presenting Staunch, which is a performance, and this is on from the 30th of April to the 2nd of May at Bats, and it is a does it say anything else? What else? I'm just looking through my notes here. There's a quiz night at Lilac on the Friday the 17th of April, and that's from 7 to 9:30 in the Lilac Lounge up in Willis Street, and teams of 4 or 5 and $10 to entry, so that could be a good fun night out as well. There's a book group, a Lilac book group, that's on the 8th of April, 6 to 7:30. Anything else on that we need to know about? Can you think of anything there, Fiona?
Not me.
Oh, good. Well, then there's very little else to say. We'll have to just play another song. And I think the next one is by Surika Richardson, and it's called Petrol Station. A very apt one for the time that we're in at the moment. I think that's why I put it in.
A movie, April Fools, I think a Tuesday. Spring had just arrived, and so our clothes were hanging loosely. We stepped outside to the old petrol station. Out of nowhere started raining, kinda suited the occasion. Reminded me of when we spent our whole summer vacation, 2011. Sleeping in my basement. Looking back, I think that we just spent those 2 weeks wasted. Some side of love we tasted. Find your love you chase. Everything is better because I'm with all my friends.
Some suburban kids just getting drunk out in the garden, sitting by, swimming with the best dressed kid from Harlem. Grass stains on my shoes, and my rib cage is bruised, and that side of love you tasted, find that stuff you chase.
Okay, that was, who did I say that was? That was Sarika Richardson. She's from Dublin, I believe. Wonderful accent. So this is the Quilted Bananas Lesbian Show, and hope you have a great day at the St. Patrick's Day Parade or the Pride, and goodbye from me and goodbye from Fiona. Have a good one.
Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.